The Healer, The Healing Work of Mary Baker Eddy. Compiled and arranged by David Keeston. Part 1. And a little child shall lead them, Isaiah. Childhood Years, 1821 to 1839. From Micah. Therefore will he give them up, until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. Number 1. During the time of Mrs. Eddy's mother's period of maternity, she told her neighbor, Mrs. Galt, that she heard a voice saying, "That which is to be born of you will be born of God." And I am so worried, and pray over it, that I might be delivered from such thoughts of profanity. Mrs. Baker was a devout Christian, a Congregationalist, but as the passage above illustrates, she was held in bondage to the belief that man is a miserable sinner, and incapable of that inspiration that regenerated so many, an elevated thought, as in Christ Jesus' day. Number 2. Some years ago, Mrs. Eddy explained to me why she struggled in coming out from the belief of life, substance, and intelligence in matter, and revealing life, substance, and intelligence as wholly spiritual. The reason was prenatal. One day, about 4.5 months before her birth, her mother, Mrs. Baker, went into the attic to get some wool in order to spin yarn for knitting. This wool, after it had been shorn from the sheep's backs and cleansed, was stored in a room in the attic until needed. Collecting her wool together, suddenly she was overwhelmed by the thought that she was filled with the Holy Ghost and had dominion over the whole earth. At that moment she felt the quickening of the babe. And then she thought, "What a sin I am guilty of, the sin of presumption, in thinking that I could be filled with the Holy Ghost, that I could have dominion." Indeed, she was very troubled. A dear old friend came to see her, and finding her so sorrowful, asked her what was the trouble. Mrs. Baker told her that she had been guilty of the sin of presumption, because of her conviction that she was filled with the Holy Ghost and had dominion over the whole earth. Her friend told her that this was the kind of man which God created, of which we read in the first chapter of Genesis, that this man was made in God's image and likeness, and was given dominion. She stayed and comforted Mrs. Baker. From Luke. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. From Genesis. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion." Number 3. When she was only a few years old, she used to sleep in a trundle bed. Sometimes her mother would go out into the evening after putting the baby to bed, and her father would sit in the parlor reading. Mary would call out, "Father, I know what you are doing. You are reading the newspaper." To this he would reply, "Hush, child, go to sleep." Then she would say, "I'll read it to you." And she would tell him what he was reading, although she could not pronounce the long words. Number 4. Mrs. Eddy confirms this ability to read thought in the first edition of Retrospection and Introspection. Also, in Christian Science History by Judge Septimus J. Hanna, we read, I can discern in the human mind thoughts, motives, and purpose. And neither mental arguments nor psychic power can affect this spiritual insight. It is as impossible to prevent this native perception as to open the door of a room and then prevent a man who is not blind from looking into the room and seeing all it contains. This mind reading is first sight. It is the gift of God. And this phenomenon appeared in my childhood. It is associated with my earliest memories and has increased with years. It has enabled me to heal in a marvelous manner, to be just in judgment, to learn the divine mind, and it cannot be abused. No evil can be done by reason of it. If the human mind communicates with me in sleep, when I awake, this communication is as palpable as words audibly spoken. From Luke. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, Rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Number 5. When Mrs. Eddy was a small child, probably age 3, she often intervened in quarrels that took place between her brothers. Even though the boys might resort to their fists in the settlement of their arguments, young Mary never neglected the role of peacemaker. Irrespective of how difficult the dispute seemed, she never failed to bring about an amicable reconciliation. When the gulf between her brothers seemed wide, she would go from one with a message for the other, and this was repeated back and forth until the brothers asked one another for forgiveness. From Psalms, Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Number 6. Again, when Mrs. Eddy was a little girl, her brother George climbed a tree for some apples. He lost his balance and fell to the ground on a broken bottle. The glass made a very deep gash in his thigh. His father picked him up, took him into the house, and sent for a surgeon to put in some stitches. It was a long, deep gash, and the boy was screaming in agony. Mr. Baker at once picked up little Mary and took her backwards into the room so that she could not see her brother. The father put her hand on the wound, and the pain ceased. He held it there while the doctor put in the stitches. Anesthetics had not been heard of at that time. The doctor thought, there must be something very wonderful and very strange about her. Just think, her father must have seen many instances of his little Mary's unusual prowess to think the child capable of helping or healing George. Unfortunately, he did not acknowledge her special spiritual nature. He was quite harsh with little Mary as she grew up. Number 7. When she was just a tot, little Mary would go out in the cold nights to sing the pigs to sleep. Her mother did not at first consent to Mary's request, but as Mary kept insisting, Abigail gave in, learning not to interfere with what Mary wished to do. The tot would put warm clothes on, put a shawl over her head, sit down near the pig pen, and sing to the little pigs until they ceased squealing and went off to sleep. She did not just sing, but prayed too, and the effect of her prayers was always felt. Mary was sometimes given the responsibility of caring for the lambs which were sick. Her father would say, "Here is another invalid for Mary." It was never very long before the little one would return to the flock. Number 8. An incident illustrating Mary Baker's unusual development as a child is shown in the following. The family had a dog in the house named Ben, and when they were assembled in the sitting room, the dog was made to understand that he must always lie under the table. Sometimes he would disregard this injunction and come out and sit before the fire with the family. Mrs. Eddy says she found out that by mentally addressing the dog, he would obey her without her speaking a word aloud. When she saw that Ben was in for trouble because of his presence in the room, she would mentally say, "Ben, go under the table and lie down." And immediately the dog would rise and walk under the table and lie down. This, she said, occurred many, many times, and was one of the incidents of her childhood which she always kept to herself. Number 9. From the time Mrs. Eddy was a small child, she always wanted to go and visit children, any of her little friends who were ill or had had accidents. She said they always seemed to forget their pain and to get well when she could be with them. The same thing occurred when any one of them were hurt at play. She was always able to help them. Related by Julia Bartlett in an interview she had in later years with Mrs. Eddy. From John, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Number 10. Is it any wonder that this precious, spiritually minded little child would go out to the shed where she would pray 7 times each day? She wanted to follow the prophet's example. Imagine such a desire to serve God that this little one would mark with chalk on the wall of the shed every time she prayed, just so she might not miss her obligation to God. This was a characteristic that was to mark every aspect of her earthly life in service to God and in her work of establishing her church. Even her Bible was well worn from use, having studied regularly, memorizing whole chapters and psalms. Number 10. Once, when Mary was very small, her elder brother was chopping wood. The axe slipped, and he suffered a severe wound in the leg. When the wound refused to heal, and the family had begun to despair of the brother's recovery, Mark Baker, their father, carried the little girl into her brother's room and had her gently touch the wound. From that very moment, the wound began to heal, and in a short time the leg was wholly restored. But as a result, Mary suffered for days from a high fever. From Matthew, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Number 11. Her father thought that her health was impaired from too much reading and studying, and he would hide her books, but she was always able to find them. This ability, which she has said was with her from her earliest years, was considered by her father to be a manifestation of the devil. He considered it uncanny. This was unsettling to Mark Baker because it contradicted the theological beliefs of the day, beliefs that held the healing of Christ Jesus to be for a time long past, impossible in their present day. It did not help that the theology of the day held that women were God-ordained inferiors. And everything Mary represented to her father contradicted this. She was superior in every sense. At play, Mrs. Eddy was always able to find the things which the children would hide. Some of the children did not like her, because she was always able to win in the games in which things were hidden. In that day, a very popular game was hide the thimble. And one time, the children gave her what they considered to be a great test by hiding the thimble in the ashes of the kitchen stove. To their great astonishment, Mrs. Eddy went directly to it and found it among the ashes. Number 12. This special child was ordained of God in a most extraordinary manner. When about 8 years old, she frequently heard a voice calling Mary 3 times, and supposing it was her mother, ran to her and asked her what she wanted. But always to be told she had not called her. Until one time, when her little cousin was with her, she too heard the voice and asked her why she did not go to her mother who had called her. Then she went to her and told her she did call because her cousin had heard her. Her mother, who had been much perplexed before, read to her that night the story of little Samuel. See 1 Samuel 3, verses 4 to 11. And told her she must reply as he did, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. She was afraid and did not answer when it came again, and wept and prayed God to forgive her. The next time was after her mother had put her in her little bed for the night. The voice called Mary, and she replied, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And it was as if she was gently lifted up. Most remarkable was that when she responded to the voice, her body was lifted to a height of about a foot, then gently laid back on the bed. This was repeated 3 times. Number 13. Adam H. Dickey later recorded that Mrs. Eddy told him the following regarding this incident. As a child, she was afraid to tell the circumstances to anybody, but she pondered it deeply in her thought of it many years afterward when she was demonstrating the nothingness of matter. Number 14. At another time, there was an occurrence that illustrated this special little girl's spiritual perspicacity. After a church service one Sunday, Mrs. Baker took her little Mary with her to visit the pastor's wife, who was quite ill. It was believed that she was suffering from a tumor. The pastor and his wife had been married for 15 years. Yet they had not been able to have children, which had been a great disappointment, as she loved children dearly. When the Bakers came to visit, they read the Bible and sang hymns to the pastor's wife, with little Mary joining in the songs. After they left the house, little Mary exclaimed, "Mother, I saw a dear little baby all cuddled up, close and warm inside." However, Mrs. Baker told her little Mary that there were no babies there. But Mary was insistent, saying, "But Mother, I saw a dear little baby all cuddled up inside." Later on, this revelation was a wonder to many of their friends, as this woman did indeed give birth to a baby boy. From Genesis. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Number 15. When Mary was 8 or 10 years old, her elderly grandmother was suffering from the delusion that there was a great big black dog underneath her bed, and she could not sleep until Mary would come and drive the animal out. So every night, "Mary, come in and drive the dog out," was the request from her. Mary would come in and go through the motions of driving out the dog. Finally, she resolved to pretend no longer in supporting a falsehood, and went and reasoned with her grandmother so earnestly and successfully, by showing her that there was no dog under the bed, that she was healed of the claim. Number 16. Mary could not reconcile the idea of a loving and merciful God with her father's theology, Calvinism, along with its inherent sentence of predestination. So when Mary was ready to join the church of her parents, this conflict disturbed Mary greatly, climaxing in her being confined to bed with a fever. When the doctor was unable to relieve her suffering, her mother admonished her to turn to God, to lean on God's ministering love. This wonderful motherly intuition, turning Mary to prayer, enabled her to feel God's ever-present love and to rise joyfully, wholly above the decree of her father's relentless theology. She was completely free of the fever and dressed herself. Alfred Farlow related in his notes that one time Mrs. Eddy was visiting her aunt, who at the time was suffering from a terrible headache. She asked Mary to pray for her and was quickly healed, leaving for home happy and well. from Matthew. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Number 17. When Mary was attending the Sanborton Academy, she was 15 at the time, there was an incident that was related for years by the residents of that town. One day, a lunatic escaped from an asylum at Concord, invading the schoolyard, brandishing a club. The terrified children ran into the schoolhouse, that is, all except Mary. She advanced towards the man. The lunatic wielded the club above his head, but Mary walked straight up to him and took his free hand. To the children watching the schoolyard scene from the windows, it looked as though Mary was to be struck down. At that moment, the man dropped the club down to his side, and Mary led him to the gate. He reappeared the next Sunday at church and stood beside Mary during the hymn singing. After the service, he allowed the authorities to take him into custody without resistance. Another account relates that later this same man forced his way into Mrs. Eddy's home one morning when the family was at prayer. He rushed up to her father, who was reading the Bible, and took it away from him. Handing it to Mary, he said, "Here, you are the one to read from God's word." From Mark. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Number 18. In the following year, Mary continued her education with the Reverend Enoch Corser. Even at this early age, his perception ably confirmed what many others had seen in this young girl. "I never before had a pupil with such a depth and independence of thought. She has some great future, mark that. She is an intellectual and spiritual genius."